It's a pleasure to welcome Jeff and Carol back to King's. Some of you will be meeting them for the first time. But when Phil said that we were going to have this anniversary service and I could invite whoever I wanted, I knew that Jeff and Carol had to be here, because Jeff was our regional superintendent for many years. And when we began the church here in Boston Spa, for various reasons, all understandable, there wasn't a lot of encouragement around in the early days. And every time I was with Jeff, I just felt he believed in this project. And encouragement is such important fuel for any of us. The other thing is that very early on in the church's history, we went through an 18-month period where it was like all hell broke loose. Most of the church wouldn't have been aware of it, but it was like there was a spiritual battle for the soul of the church. It was terrifying for someone with a personality like mine. I found it incredibly difficult. But Jeff was a rock, and he was always there. I could consult with him, take advice from him, and God brought us through. And when I wrote that little book a few years ago, just to, you know, give a potted history of the church, there was a small chapter devoted to a man called Jeff, because he's been a key player in the history of our church, along with many others. So thank you for being with us, and God bless you, Jeff, as you speak.
You're going to make me cry now. It's nice to be back in Boston. Always enjoy coming. It's a number of years since I was here last, but you're still going on with the Lord, which is the most important thing. And yesterday was a very special day. It was a milestone. It was a hallmark of the church's progress, and so good to be here and to be part of that. And thanks for the invitation. Now, obviously, yesterday was very much how the church began and who was the focal point in that, which obviously it was Steve. But as the years have gone by, things have changed. Members of the team have changed. Congregation has changed. Change is here to stay, basically. And Jilly came alongside as well with Steve, and we honour you both for what you've done, for the way that you've served, for the faithfulness, even through that very dark time. I remember, I'd forgotten until you just reminded me then, we lovingly call those things church problems, but they drain you. They really do drain you. And as Steve said, most of the congregation probably wasn't even aware of what was taking place at that time. And those things, they bed us down into God in many ways. We have to know where our anchor is and where our start point is and where our finishing point is. And Steve labored through those times, and it made him. It brought something stronger. It brought something more mature out of him. And together now you've served the Lord and you've been very faithful. And we've just sung a song then. Who knows about the future? Who knows what God has got in store for you? I retired 10 years ago and I had no idea what would be happening over the next 10 years, but God has a plan and God has a purpose, and still traveling, still preaching most weekends, and some of those things are very, very precious, because the Lord has our times and our seasons in his hands. And so we bless you both. Your faithfulness for starting, Jilly for coming alongside and being part of the journey, and God bless you whatever happens within the future, and God give you great grace. And to Phil and his family, who knows? Yes, who knows what the ministry may bring. It's sometimes it's daunting, sometimes it's frightening, but it's always blessed, because God knows times and seasons and he leads us on step by step. And God bless you in the future. And I know that you're the man for the hour and you're man for God's purpose for King's Church in Boston Spa. We all agree with that. And I said, we all agree with that. Listen to me, Boston Spa. He's the man for the hour, and he's the man for the purpose, and we just believe great, great things. I said yesterday, the end is not yet. That's the former times. These are the present times, and there are future times that God has in his time, in his store, and in his faithfulness, times and seasons. And maybe the Lord has great, great things for the future, and we bless you too, Phil, and your family too. Now, I have just two verses of scripture. If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn to Isaiah chapter 9? It's not quite Christmas, but I've got a Christmas verse. And I think it's a shame sometimes that we only use this particular verse at Christmas time, which is a great shame because it is Christmas, but it's more than a Christmas verse. It's Isaiah 9 and verse 6 and verse 7. You'll know it well. Handel put it into his Messiah, and it's been sung by thousands over the years, around the countries and around the world, and it's a very precious promise and a very precious verse. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. For unto us is born a child, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And I want to do two simple things this evening, really just to concentrate on who said this and what was being said. What was the person and what was the prophecy? Just two very simple thoughts to share with you. We know that Isaiah is the major, major prophet. Now, this is going to be a bit theological for a few moments. I'm no theologian. I leave that to people like Steve, who's a great theological person. But I'm not going to do any theology, but just to say a couple of things about it, we know that there are major prophets and minor prophets. Minor prophets were smaller in content. Their delivery and their quality was exactly the same. For instance, Isaiah has 66 chapters, Obadiah has one chapter, and the quantity is smaller, but the quality is just the same. Both were anointed. Both came for a season. Both ministered under the anointing of God. Both had revelation that touched the heart of a nation. But they're different in their quantity, but not in their quality. Quality is absolutely perfect in every way. Isaiah is the longest serving and the greater major prophet of all of them. And he served for 60 years. And he covered the content of ministry of four different kings. There's 66 chapters in his particular prophecy, but for 60 years he was very, very faithful, and he prophesied into the heart of Israel over four kings in their reigns. Now, that's quite something to do. Now, because of that, theologians have had big problems with Isaiah. Some of them say because of the quality of it and because of the content over 60 years, there had to be at least two Isaiahs and maybe three. And they have this raging theological battle over was there one, was there two, and was there three. Well, the Bible doesn't say there was one Isaiah, two Isaiahs, and three Isaiahs. It just says Isaiah the prophet. So I want to go with what the Bible says, because I've noticed something as the years have gone by. We grow and we change. Things happen to us that mold our lives. We become more mature. When we first get saved, we're drinking the milk of the word. And Paul urges to grow up and enjoy the meat of God's word. We're being changed from glory into glory. As the years go by, things are getting better. Things are getting stronger. We understand more about the Lord. We understand more about ourselves. And things begin to change and develop. And we are what we are because of the journey. And Isaiah had to come before four kings. He had to prophesy for 60 years, and it covers 66 chapters. It's quite remarkable. So obviously he changed, and he developed. He developed his skills of communication. He had to come before some of the kings who were quite rebellious, and he had to bring a message of judgment and of change. And other kings, they were quite spiritual and quite righteous, so there was a message of encouragement and exhortation. So Isaiah is growing and developing his style and his ministry and his maturity. Theologians can have their battles, and they can say that there was one, two, or three, but I like the idea of change. Isaiah grew in grace, grew in prophecy, grew in maturity, grew up in his understanding of the Lord and of his understanding of himself, and he began to change and develop, just like you and I. You're not what you were 20, 30 years ago. It frightens me sometimes. I got saved 70 years ago as a little boy of 6. Isn't that frightening? Where have those years gone? What's happened in all those years? And what did God do in all those years that brought change and development? And we change constantly. You and I develop our spiritual life along the journey. So if you take a look at me and you don't like what you see, just remember, God's not finished with me yet. And if I take a look at you and I don't like what you do, I'll remember God's not finished with you either. There's a journey and there's a change and there's a development, and thank God for that, because we grow in grace and we ought to be far sharper spiritually. We ought to be far deeper spiritually than we were when we first believed. And as we're getting nearer and nearer to the end and God's change develops us, we're going to be perfected in Him. One day, we will be absolutely perfect. Some of us struggle with that till now. But one day, we're going to stand before the Lord and He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Well, there's someone saved here anyway. We grow in grace and we grow in development and we grow in the Lord and our awareness of Him and our understanding of Him and our understanding of ourselves develops and changes as the years go by. So that's Isaiah. That's who he was. That's what made him. 60 years of ministry, 4 kings, bringing words of judgment sometimes, sometimes encouragement, growing in grace, and touching the life of a nation like no other prophet ever did. It lasted for 60 long years. So God bless the one Isaiah, because I think there's just that one. And he grew in grace and followed the journey of the Lord. So the prophecy. Prophecy is amazing. I don't understand why, at times, we think that the anointing of God comes at the edge of this platform. Those up here are anointed, preachers, worship leaders, Sunday school teachers, elders, deacons, maybe house group leaders, maybe choir members. And we think that when they step off the platform, the anointing disappears because the anointing is confined to those who have an office, to those who are in quotes. And we often understand that anointing of God and the prophetic revelation touches every single one of us constantly. Every one of us. We can flow in ministry. We can flow in understanding. We can receive revelation anywhere we are at any time because God wants to birth things in our spirit. He wants to share His heart with us. He wants us to understand more and grow in grace and complete the journey that He's taking us on. Revelation is not confined to people up here who hold a particular office or a particular position. The anointing of God touches every single member, however long you've been saved, because God's got revelation for us constantly. When you're pushing a trolley around Tesco's, or if you're posh, Waitrose, and you're going around doing ordinary, everyday things, God can speak to you. You can have revelation from Him in the most ordinary and everyday places. We live near the coast, down near Bristol. And I walk every single morning, very early in the morning, whether it's rain or shine. And I look out sometimes at the sea, and I look at the clouds, and I look at the sunshine, or I look at the rain, and I think to myself, God made all this. It's absolutely amazing. So your natural abilities are heightened. And at that moment, as your natural ability is heightened, so too can your spiritual ability. Because God wants to pour things into our lives. He wants to pour revelation into our spirit so that we understand Him and grow in grace to complete the journey like Isaiah. And we need to learn afresh, constantly, that revelation is not confined to people up here and it disappears off the platform. Revelation can come to you, to me, constantly. So when you open your Bible and you do daily Bible reading, don't just hurry through one chapter and score the brownie points because you've done a chapter a day. Don't just rush through the reading and rush through the scriptures. Before you start, ask the Lord, what do you want to show me today? What is it you want me to understand today? What is it you want me to see afresh today?
and you start reading the scripture and you come across verses that are utterly, utterly amazing. Because there's freshness and there's newness and there's revelation in God's word. And sometimes you open the scripture and you think to yourself, I never saw that before. I never understood that before. And you may have read it 1,000 times. But God has got something new and fresh. I discovered a verse a little while ago, a couple of weeks ago, that I didn't even realize was there. And I've read it over and over again over the years. It's the 5th verse from the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. And the 5th verse right from the end, where Jesus says, I am of the root and the offspring of David. And I thought, my goodness, the root and the offspring of David. Right at the end of the Bible, Revelation 22. In other words, the battle of Armageddon's been passed. Church has been raptured. Tribulation is over. Millennium is over. We're with the Lord in his presence forever and ever. And the whole thing is being wrapped up right at the end of the Bible. And just before the end of the Bible, the last few verses, Jesus says, I'm from the root and the offspring of David. And I thought to myself, I never saw that before. Never understood that. That Jesus identified himself with the greatest king of the Old Testament and one of the worst kings of the Old Testament. Because David was a great warrior. He was a great battle. He was a great leader. He was a great champion. He dispensed justice. He led Israel to the greatest point of its history. And he fell with adultery. He fell with arranging a murder. And he comes to one of the Psalms saying, please, God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Please don't remove me. And his life is colors and changes and shades and darkness and all those things. And yet Jesus says at the end of the Bible, I belong to David. I'm of the root and the offspring of David. He identifies with the greatest and the least. He identifies with the best and the worst. And that's what God does. That's amazing grace. That's why grace is so amazing. Because Jesus says, I belong to people. And I identify with people who are ordinary, everyday people. And God wants to share his heart with us constantly and help us to grow in grace. And we can find God at any point, at any time, anyway. I learned a big lesson several years ago. When I left the north of England, I was here for 20 years as the superintendent. I went down and took over Wales and the southern part of England. And I was traveling around the churches. And I left a church one night, about 10 o'clock in the evening. And I had a great service. Worship was over. Band were putting their instruments away. The lights were going off. We had our tea and our coffee. And I was heading for the door. It was 10 o'clock. I had a 2-hour journey to get home. And I just wanted to get going. And a man stopped me in the middle of the church. I was heading for the back door and he stopped right in front of me. And I didn't quite know what to do, so I shook his hand and I said, God bless you, nice to be here, see you next time I'm around. And he didn't move and he didn't say anything. He stood there, so I sort of shuffled to my left, tried to go round him, and he moved to his right and he's still right in front of me. So I thought, I'll try this again. God bless you. Nice to be here. He really enjoyed the meeting. See you again next time. And I went to my right and he went to his left. And we're standing there doing this two-step in the middle of the church. And I thought, what does he want? What does he want to say? Does he want something from me? So I tried it one more time. I said, God bless you. Enjoyed the meeting. Great service. See you next time. And he said, I'd like to talk to you. And I thought, it's 10 o'clock. I've got a 2-hour journey. I enjoyed the meeting and I'm getting just a tiny, tiny little bit irritated. I want to go home. It's 2 hours on the road. It's a dark night. It's up in the forest. And I thought, yes, fine. What is it you want to say? And he said, well, I'd like to give you something. Well, that changed everything. I'd stay all night if people give me things. And he said, I'd like to give you something. And he picked up this tiny little thing. And he said, I'd like to give you that. And I thought, what in the world is it? And he said, I'd like you to have it. I said, well, thank you very much. And he said, do you know what it is? I said, I haven't got a clue. He said, it's a fibre micro-optic. And I thought, oh, lovely. Yeah. I've always wanted a fibre micro-optic. I've prayed for years, Lord, one day. Could I have a fibre micro-optic? And he said, I'd like you to have it. And he said, can I tell you what it's about? He said, I'm a scientist. And I thought, I'm going to be here all night. I'm going to get a seminar. And he said, can I tell you? He said, we've invented this through BT. I'm a technician, scientist. And he said, we've invented this fibre micro-optic, and it's utterly amazing. And he said, through this fibre flows millions and millions of electronic pulses. And it carries emails, and it carries technology, and it carries pictures, and it carries TV, and it carries everything. And it goes from house to house, broadband, and it links to a satellite 24,000 miles above the Earth, and it beams pictures around the world and beams telephone conversations around the world. And he said, man mentored this, and he said, it's absolutely amazing. And he said, I'd like you to have it. And he said to me, the last thing, if this is what man can do, what can God do? And he turned around and he walked away. And I'm standing there like a lemon, thinking to myself, what on earth was that all about? So I put this highly prized piece of fibre micro-optic into my pocket, and I thought, I need to get home. I looked at my watch, it's nearly 10:30. I got in the car, started down the highway. I got about an hour into the journey, and I stopped dead, and I thought, you totally stupid idiot. Here was a scientist who, in his enthusiasm and his excitement and his invention, had made something. And he said, if man can do this with its incredible potentials, what can God do? And I thought, I just had a prophecy. I just had a revelation. And because it didn't come with, thus saith the Lord, here's a fibre micro-optic, or it didn't come with, I feel God is saying, or I see a picture. It came from a scientist. It came from a technician who, in his ordinary everyday world, was prophesying to me about the bigness and the greatness of God. And I was halfway down the highway and thought, you stupid. I almost missed a word from God in my irritation and in my anxiousness to get home, and my thought of looking at this thinking, what on earth is he giving me? Why do I need that? And I almost missed a word from God. And I wonder how many times we have, when God is wanting to speak to us, we don't get Isaiah walking up the steps of the royal palace, coming before the king saying, thus saith the Lord. That's Old Testament, that's old prophetic style. Today, God wants to birth things in our spirit. He wants to birth his revelation. He wants to birth his knowledge and his wisdom. He wants us to grow in grace and become greater and stronger than we've ever been before. He wants to speak into the life of King's Church all the time, to take you on and to lead you further and to take you deeper in his word and take you further than you've ever been before. And we think sometimes we've arrived at a certain level, and we haven't even begun to tap the unsearchable riches of Christ, which are amazing. And God has got so much to share with us and so much to give to us. And he longs to share his heart. He longs that we might spend just a little bit of time with him. And the trouble is, our days are so full and there's so many things to do. And it's so complex today. And there's all the pressures of family and work and COVID and all the things that go on with us every single day. And all those pressures come into us and they squeeze the life out of us, and we just become so natural. And just a breath away is the supernatural. And the supernatural really should be the most natural thing in the world for those of us in Christ, for those of us who love the Lord. Natural and supernatural ought to be wedded together and blended together in such a way that we can hear from him at any moment, wherever we are, whether we're shopping, cleaning, working, nursing, fixing cars, painting rooms, doesn't matter what we're doing. In the midst of all of life, God has a word for us and he breathes it upon us. If only we'd tune in and listen. I almost missed a word from God that night about his glory, his majesty, his greatness, and his glory. I almost missed it because I was irritated and I was being natural. And God wants us to be just that little bit more aware of him, so that when our natural senses are heightened, so our spiritual ones can be too. So Isaiah, major prophet, probably the major of them all, 60 years of ministry, 4 different kings, challenged people, blessed people, brought sometimes a word of condemnation, sometimes a word of encouragement, but he grew in grace all through the years. And he was breathing prophecy in the natural and in the supernatural for 60 long years. Come on, we haven't even started yet, have we? We haven't even got near to the unsearchable riches of Christ. We haven't even started to understand how great and faithful and amazing and majestic God really is. So what about the prophecy? For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And here's this amazing description: and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Do you need someone to put their arms around you tonight and just say, I love you? Do you need someone just to come alongside and walk a mile with you and just say to you, keep going, keep pressing in, keep trusting? He's a wonderful counselor. He can do that for you. He's not God out there divorced from reality, God out there controlling the universe. He's here breathing upon us, and he wants us to understand him. He's a wonderful counselor. He puts his arm around us, and he loves us. Wonderful counselor. Mighty God, do you need someone to fight a battle for you? Do you need someone who roll their sleeves up and come alongside and say, I've got this. Leave this to me. This is in my hands. Trust me. He's a mighty God. He pulls down strongholds. He uproots the enemy. He builds strong towers. He gives us a tower to run to. He's the eternal rock of ages. And we've sung it this evening, Ancient of Days. He's been there from eternity to eternity. He's a mighty God, and he fights for us. He's constantly on our side. Everlasting Father. I've met people who have rejoiced in a great father, and I've met people who've rejoiced in different ways because they had no father. I've seen people with tears in their eyes because they've been abused. I've seen people over the years that have been left and abandoned. But you won't get that from Everlasting Father, because he's there constantly. When you need him, he's a father to the childless. He's a husband to the widow. He's there for you with his arms open wide, rejoicing because the prodigal son comes home, bringing you into his banqueting house, and his banner over us is love. He's a wonderful, wonderful father. And he's the Prince of Peace. In the raging storm, he's the peace. In the troubled nights, when you can't sleep, when the weariness comes of the flesh, when the crisis rolls in out of nowhere, illness, sickness, family tensions, crises, they come suddenly from nowhere. They blow in like a whirlwind, takes your breath away. In the midst of it all, he's the peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's everything that we ever need. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's a wonderful, wonderful Father. A couple of years ago, I was preaching in a church in Sicily, a little town called Gela. And we had a healing line, and Carol and I were praying along the healing line along with my interpreter, and 3 nights of meetings before we moved on to another church. And as we came to the end of the service and praying along this line, a disabled girl stepped out in front of me. And she took me by surprise, to be honest. I didn't know, do I pray for her disablement? Do I pray for total healing? Do I cast something out? How do I deal with this? What do I do? And I just said, Lord, what do I do? Help me. And I heard music. and I thought for a moment that the band on the platform had started up playing instruments. And I looked and there was no one there. And I looked again at this disabled girl and I could feel music flowing out of her, just this amazing music coming out of her spirit. And I didn't know quite what to do, so I said, Lord, will you bless this music? Whatever this is, this gift, whatever it is, will you bless this music in this life? And I laid hands on her, prayed for her, and moved on. Meeting came to an end, lights went out, and my interpreter suddenly reappears with this disabled girl. And my interpreter says, this is my sister, and she's been disabled from birth, but she loves music. She wakes up in the morning singing. She goes to bed at night singing. And it's her passion and a desire to be in the Gela Town Choir, which is one of the greatest choirs in Sicily, so I'm told. But they've never had a disabled person in the choir. And she applied, and there was a lot of discussion and a lot of background detail, and eventually they invited her to join the choir. And now she sings all over Sicily with the choir, and her greatest passion has become her dream, and she's living the dream. And I felt it as I prayed, and I just blessed her again, and I said, God bless you. Whatever happens in the future, God be with you and God bless you. And we left the church and we moved on to Palermo and we had some more meetings and came home and completely forgot all about it. Now and again, it would come into my mind and I'd tell the story in one of my messages to a church. And just now and again, over a year, and I was in Spain almost exactly to the same time at an ordination service. I was preaching in the service and came to halfway through the message and I suddenly felt God say, tell the story. Tell the story about Gela. And I hadn't planned to do it, and it wasn't in anything that I'd prepared. And I suddenly thought, well, okay, he's breathed upon me. Out of the natural came the supernatural, and he just said, tell the story. So I started to tell the story about the girl coming forward, laying hands upon her, living the dream of music, and talked about her handicap and how God had been so good to her and has used her in her music. And as I was telling the story, there's a noise at the back of the building. It's a hotel conference center, 200 people in the ordination, and there's a commotion at the back, which I couldn't see, but I heard the noise. I kept preaching, finished the service. We ordained 5 new pastors in Spain for the church, and at the end of the service, 2 ladies from our Girona church come racing up to me at the end, and they said, did you know what happened? I said, no, tell me the story. And they said, as you were telling the story of a disabled girl in Gela and how God had blessed her and she was living her dream of music, one of the waitresses from the hotel came down the stairs and was passing the door, just as you said, God blessed a disabled girl in Gela. And she stopped dead. And she said to a lady that was near her, that man is talking about a handicapped person, a disabled person. She said, every day I leave my home and I come to work and I leave behind my disabled daughter. And she said, it's a strain and it's a terrible burden and it's not getting any easier. And she said, that man's talking about a girl in Italy. If God could do that in Italy, could it do it in my home in Spain? Just as I said it, she passed the door. She broke down in tears. They sat her on the steps and they led her to the Lord. And she came to faith. Now, I don't know the story. I don't know what happened to the girl. But all I knew is this. If I'd missed that moment in the message, if I'd missed the breath of God from natural into supernatural, I would have missed that girl. I would have missed that story. I would have missed whatever God had for her. And she came to faith that night, sitting on the steps of a conference center. See, God has everything to say to us all the time. God wants to breathe upon us. Don't ever say, God won't speak to me because I'm not a platform person or I don't hold a ministry or I haven't got a position. Just say, Lord, speak to me. Like Samuel in the temple, here I am, speak to me. And God has so much revelation and grace and glory and wisdom and maturity to put into our journey that makes us grow in grace. because supernatural is the most natural thing in the world. And God has so much to share with us. The end is not yet for Kings. You've just started. 31 years is just the first chapter. Who knows where the end will be and how great God's glory will be as the years go by and more people are added and more people come to faith and God's goodness is shown to the people of this village. So, Father, we pray tonight as we've opened the scriptures together, and so simply, Lord, we've just tried to understand glory and grace, natural and supernatural, our journey with you. Father, I pray that you'll show us every day fresh things from the Lord. We open our hearts to you. We open our mind to you. We open our spirit to you. And Father, we just simply want to have more of you in every moment of every day, in the most ordinary moments of life. We ask, Lord, will you share your heart with us and let grace come? And we pray that, Lord, the Spirit of the living God will fall afresh upon us, and the breath of God will always be in our hearts and in our minds. And Father, I pray for Steve and Jilly. And Lord, I just pray that whatever seasons you take them through, whatever the future holds, and whatever you unfold for them, Father, I pray that you would just bless them, use them for your glory, help them, Lord, to sense your presence. Help, Lord, every single day for them to understand more and more of your grace. Thank you for all the journey that they've been on and for 31 faithful years that they've served and for every person they've counseled and everyone that they brought to faith and every sermon that's been preached and every message that's been delivered and every problem that's been solved and every part of the journey. Father, I just pray that greater grace will be upon them. And as we've sung, the future is in your hands and our times and our seasons are known by you. So, Father, will you bless them? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And I pray that for you both in Jesus' name. And I pray for Phil, Father. You know how he's come, Lord, to a position like this at such a time. And I just pray, Father, that you would bless him and anoint him. I pray that, Lord, he might see things he's never seen before, that he might hear things he's never heard before. I pray that, Lord, you would show him scenes of grace, pictures of glory, unfolding wisdom, that, Lord, you would just shower him constantly, even in the dark times, and there will be some, that, Lord, you would show him the way forward, and the times and seasons are in his hands too. And I just pray that, Lord, you would just use him for your glory and his family and his children. I commit them all to you. And I pray that, Lord, as you brought him to this place at such a time as this, that the blessing of God will become stronger and stronger in his life. And so, Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. And, Father, for all the people in Kings, Father, I thank you for them. Thank you for grace and glory over the years. Thank you, Lord, for the history of 31 lovely years of ministry and growth and blessing. And I pray as the end is not yet, that you'll take them further and deeper with you. And that, Lord, there'll be a people of revelation and a people of the Spirit. Because, Father, we pray this together in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. And some even said, oh, you've been around a little while.